I'm Scott Hansen with NFL Red Zone, and you are listening to the Gridiron Gentlemen.
Now then, everybody, welcome back to the Gridiron Gentlemen podcast. Conspicuous by their absence, the majority of the gentlemen, but I always can count on one gentleman in particular to talk NFL football with, and that's you, Phil. How is it going?
I'm very well, thank you, William. How are you?
All the better for getting to talk NFL football with you, Phil.
Yes.
So, this is how this show is going to go. We've got quite a lot of news to talk about, so we shall talk about that first.
There has been much news.
There has been a lot of news, and then we shall review the weekend's football action. But first, there has been a number of firing. Well, one big firing. Yep. And quite a few hirings since we last podded, and we will go through them in chronological order. So the first of which is a move that surprised nobody, in that the Giants hire John Harbaugh as their head coach, which I think for the Giants is a very good move.
Yes.
I think for a number of other teams it would be a poor move, but for the Giants, who are in a bit of a mess and need someone to come in and make less of a mess, I think it's a very good move.
Yeah, that they're in a bit of a mess, but they've got pieces within said mess. And I think John Harbaugh is quite a good sort of stabilizing presence. If you look at the Ravens under his leadership, they were always there or thereabouts, you know, whether they are winning a Super Bowl or getting close or just generally being a competitive team year after year. That is something that he brings. And I think would be a very good thing for the Giants, is that kind of sort of steady the ship and get it pointed in the right direction. Because there is talent there. Jackson Dart, I think, is going to be a good QB. The defense has got talent on it. And if properly organized and directed, will be effective. There are other pieces. The offensive line is bad. They've got Malik Nabers, who's a very good wide receiver. I like their running back room. I don't think either one of the two main ones are like lead running backs, but I think they both have good skill sets that can be utilized well. Also, Cam Scatterboo is hilarious and I want to watch him run through a wall.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm less enamored with Mr. Scatterboo. However...
I like morons. Which I like harmless, funny morons.
Yeah. Yeah. Not one. No.
Not one running the country? No, I don't like those morons.
No. But, yeah, so I think this is a great move for the Giants. They need stability. Yeah. They need someone who's been there and done that and bought the T-shirt. And the other thing about John Harbaugh is he generally, not always, but generally makes good hires for his staff. So I'm confident he's going to bring in the right folk to get the Giants turned around.
Yeah.
Like you say, there is a bit of talent here already to work with. They have... I should have looked this up while I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but they've got their draft picks, not many draft picks, just the ones they should have, if that makes sense.
Yes, yeah.
And not a lot of cap room to manoeuvre, but enough to make some moves. So
yeah,
I'm expecting a kind of like, it'll be, I was going to say 8-8, but that's not right, but kind of like
a competitive
7-10, 8-9 sort of season out of them next year. And then
be more feisty,
builds from that. So generally, very good move. Maybe Harbaugh is kicking himself a little bit by taking the job quickly, considering what became available later. But more, we'll talk about that in a bit. The next move I absolutely despise, and is that's the Atlanta Falcons hiring Kevin Stefanski.
Why? Why don't you like it?
I'm annoyed that they got such a competent man.
They got a good coach, or just that they got a new coach? I mean, which one irks you more?
I'm annoyed that they got a good coach.
I know you're probably just as frustrated because I still have the same guy.
Yes. But specifically, he has shown that he knows how to use running backs and get the most out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And those Atlanta Falcons have what I consider the best proper running back. I make that distinction because although Christian McCaffrey is great, he's much better as like an all-round weapon rather than just a running back.
Yes.
Whereas I think...
Plus you play the Seahawks and he does nothing.
That's okay. Yeah. But he's still very good.
More on Bijan, that later.
I think Bijan is the best pure running back in the NFL. Yeah,
definitely.
So yeah, it's annoyed me because I think he's going to do very well and that's going to annoy me because I don't like I don't like it when the Falcons do well.
So, yes, because it's harder for you.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I understand. I understand. I don't like it when the Rams or the Niners do well. That annoys me. This season has been very frustrating until, you know, recently.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, taking off my putrid coloured spectacles, it's a very good hire. I think he was one.
Yeah.
He was the best offensive candidate if you wanted to hire an offensive coach.
Yeah.
Of, well, there were some unproven names.
Yeah, of the Gamble. Yeah. Of the sort of proven quantities, he's probably the best offensive-minded coach out there available. Yeah.
And this team doesn't really need a lot, or shouldn't need a lot, to get going in the right direction. He's proven that he can make offense out of not a right lot, so there's quite a lot here to make an offense out of. And he's keeping Jeff Ulbrich, which I think is also a good move, considering how much better the Falcons defense looked under Ulbrich. So, yeah, not pleased. Not pleased at all.
No. No, it's a good move for the Falcons. So for Falcons fans, you should be pleased.
Should be pleased that I'm annoyed is what we're saying.
Basically, yes. anybody who plays in the NFC South, if a move you make annoys Will, it's because he is frustrated.
Because I think it's good.
Because it's good, rather than it being a bad decision.
Exactly. Oh, wait, so, we alluded to it just a moment ago, but after Sunday, did they play on Sunday? Yes, they did play on Sunday. The Bills fired Sean McDermott. I thought they played on Sunday.
No, they played Saturday. They were the early game Saturday.
Oh. Cool. But after their defeat to the Broncos, they fired Sean McDermott, which isn't, I don't think this was in and of itself the wrong thing to do, but it astounds me that Brandon Bean still has a job.
Yeah. Yeah. That may change.
Maybe.
Possibly. I think this strikes me as being very similar to what the Steelers and the Ravens mm-hmm. both did, is mm-hmm. in a case of the coach has been there for a long time with that quarterback and they've had some success, but they've never made it, you know, over the hump. They've never made it to the Super Bowl they've never made it to the Super Bowl and given themselves a shot at the title. And, you know, I think it might just be, it's a case for the, get someone in there, just a new person in there to maybe get that. The defense needs improvement. You could run on them very easily. And I think because they kept having to play from behind, especially you saw it in the Broncos game, because they kept having to play from behind and they kept getting put in situations that weren't great, Josh Allen sort of went hero ball mode. Mm. And sometimes that works brilliantly, but sometimes it doesn't. Against a team like the Broncos, that's not ideal because their defense is set up to deal with that. It's not going to work against them. Hero ball works great against defense. It isn't particularly good because you can just run through them.
Yeah.
But someone like the Broncos, it comes undone very quickly.
Yeah, and I've got to agree with you. Like just like the Ravens and just like the Steelers.
Yeah.
He'd been there 8 years. He's a very long tenured coach.
Yep.
And sometimes, if you're doing the same thing over and over and getting the same results, you've got to try something else.
Yeah.
So I don't blame them for thinking, right, we've gone as far as we can with McDermott. It's time to move on and find someone else.
It happens.
So I don't begrudge them the move. I don't think it's a bad conclusion to have come to. The thing that I can't square is the McDermott was actually doing fairly well with not a right lot.
Yeah.
And the person who provided him with not a right,
right lot,
yeah, has a job.
It's still there. Yeah. That's the part that would, I mean, don't get me wrong, coaching the Bills would be a good opportunity because you're playing with one of the best quarterbacks in the league. That's that's a great opportunity. And one of the best running backs. James Cook is sometimes underrated, I feel. He has played exceptional football for a lot of this season.
He's.
So those parts of that job would be very, very tempting for me. But yes, the GM situation and the fact that they seem to have an allergy to going in and getting good wide receivers confuses me. I know they thought Keon Coleman might be the answer after drafting him, but he's clearly more of a two or three rather than a number one. And I know it's difficult with the draft to know that you're definitely getting that number one guy, especially if you're not drafting sort of high up the draft, which the Bills don't, because they win a lot of games most years. So you don't tend to draft high. But you can do things to go get a proper number one receiver that I think would really help. Because I feel like they looked, if you'd have combined, say, their old receiving game when they had like Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and so forth, that worked really well. It was just the running game was a bit bad. And that's why they didn't make it. Whereas now the receiving game is throw it to a tight end and that's kind of it. Which again limits what Josh Allen can do. So I feel that he feels the need. I can't throw it to anybody. I'm going to have to go hero ball.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if they could get someone, just guys in the receiving room, just to bring that talent level up there. And that obviously, like I say, just, yeah, the defense does need a proper sort of going over because it doesn't have to be a top, like, 10 defense. It just needs to be better than it was, especially against the run game.
Yeah, his draft record is not particularly good. He's taken a lot of people high that haven't really panned out. Got career Elam. I don't think he's even on the team anymore. Gregory Russo, who is fine.
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah.
Dalton Kincaid, who is fine.
He's a good blocking tight end.
Yeah, but they've got Dawson Knox, who they picked up for like next to nothing, who's better than him. So that's like a waste of a first round pick. Maxwell Hairston, jury's still out because he didn't play quite very much this season. Where's all this talent in your top of the draft picks? And the Athletic Football Show made a very good point in that 2 years ago, Puna Ford, who is now on the LA Rams, was a Buffalo Bill, and they didn't want him. And then the LA Rams have just forked out like an enormous contract for him to come and shore up their run defense, and he's been doing a great job all season. So maybe you're not doing a particularly good job of talent evaluation if you didn't fancy paying him, and now you've got a problem with teams running on you. Yeah, don't begrudge them firing their head coach, but
your GM probably needs to be looked at as well. Yes. If I was them, yeah, I'd be very inclined to say get a new GM in, because then you've got a new GM and new head coach pairing, and that can work quite well, because if they're on the same hymn sheet and everything else, it can make an organization really start to sort of come together, and it can be a very good recipe for success.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on to their AFC East counterparts, the Miami Dolphins have hired Jeff Hafley in a move that can only really be considered incredibly boring.
They've gone from OC, former OC to former DC. Because they're like, well, our defense sucks. It's like, yeah, that's because there's nobody on it. Your defense sucks. It's not just because the scheme is bad. It's because the talent level you have on your defense is appalling. I can't help you here. The reason the Dolphins suck a lot of the time or tend to disappoint is because just, you've spent lots of money on the wrong players. Like Tyreek Hill, I'm sure, is still on an inordinate amount of money for a man who probably will never play again. Now, admittedly, you couldn't have necessarily seen what happened to his knee coming, but still. You know, you've paid him fortunes, and you've paid Tua fortunes, and you've paid Waddle fortunes, and then you've never done anything with their offensive line and or the defense at all. This, I mean, you've got what, Minka Fitzpatrick's probably the best, most talented player on the defense. I think they've still got, I think they've still got Bradley Chubb.
They do, but he is oft injured.
He is oft injured, yeah.
He's good when he's available, but he's very rarely available.
The problem is, the Dolphins can be good, but they're inconsistent, and it's because they don't spend money on the positions that you need to spend money on to be consistent, which is the trenches. If you spend money in the trenches, your team will be more consistent. That's how it works. It's that football does kind of boil down to that. The big men in the middle, yes, they might not get all the flashy plays, but they do the work that means the flashy plays happen.
Yeah. They tried to do a little bit of that in this offseason, but it's kind of a little too little too late. I can't remember. He's a Polynesian chap, and he has a quite difficult to pronounce name, so I'm not even going to bother, as a guard. But he played fairly well. They gave up a lot of capital to get him, though. But once they got their GM a couple of weeks ago, who is a former guy at Green Bay, it kind of makes sense that he would go for someone he knows.
Yeah.
I don't think Hathley is a bad defensive coordinator. He certainly improved the Green Bay defense over the last 2 years. He has been a head coach at Boston College in his past, but it's just, I don't know, it just feels a bit dull, this hire. Which might be what the Dolphins need.
It might be, yeah. just something to sort of stabilize, and then, right, this is what we need to do. I am boring, so I'm going to focus on the boring parts of the team because that's what will make us better.
Yeah.
Because that is the case with the Dolphins. If they focused on the boring parts of the team, they'd be better off.
Instead of drafting a fourth running back who has like 4.1 40 times.
He's so fast! Yeah, that's great.
Who's blocking for him?
Yeah, what gap is he running that speed through? Because nobody's giving him one.
No, indeed not.
No.
So, I can't get excited about it. But maybe that's a good thing.
I think it's going to come down to what we see when we see what he does with his, you know, building the roster and stuff like that. We'll see. Yeah, time will tell with that one. But to start off with, it's not as like a headline grabbing move.
No. We'll have to see what kind of a staff he assembles as well, and who his offensive coordinator is going to be. And then the final hire, it happened today, where the Titans hire Robert Saleh in a really sort of a move.
Okay. You saw what he did in New York as a head coach, and you thought you wanted more of that. Yes, that's what we want. He's a great defensive coordinator. He genuinely is. His defensive mind is outstanding.
He got a lot out of the 49ers defense this year with not a lot of pieces to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he is a very good...
outstanding defensive mind.
Yeah, but there are people in the NFL who are just good at being a coordinator. The classic example is always Wade Phillips, who was excellent every time he was a defensive coordinator and sucked every time he was a head coach.
Just got to know your role, man.
Yeah. And it's not as though you will do badly just by being a DC. Look at, what's his face in Philly? He's making bags of cash. So
Fangio.
That's the fella.
Yeah.
But for the Titans, it's a very weird sort of a move.
Yeah.
You'd have thought they would have gone for an offensive minded person.
Someone to care for that talent you have at your young quarterback, yeah.
Mm.
That would be my thought.
Exactly. And Mr. Saleh does not have a particularly good record in protecting and grooming young quarterbacks.
Where is Zach Wilson now?
I don't know, probably banging grannies in Florida somewhere. Doing a Wayne Rooney.
Outstanding.
So, I don't particularly like the hire. if I'm honest.
No, I'm not enthralled.
Uninspiring.
The one good thing you can say for it is they don't have a huge amount of defensive talent, and he's showed this season he can do a lot with not much defensive talent.
Which is fair.
Maybe he'll bring in some genius OC, but that would be the only way I see this having a positive effect.
And more power to Salah. Well done.
Well done getting another job another job after what you did in New York, and everybody saw it. Everybody saw the car crash that was the Jets under Salah. And you decided, that's the man we want.
Josh on our Discord had some very choice words about the hire. He's particularly unimpressed. I can't say I'm enamored with the hire either.
No.
So yeah, there has been a lot of news. Lots of news. We didn't touch on this, but a couple of weeks ago, we went through all the jobs and we concluded that the Ravens job is the best possible job to get. Do you still feel that way now that the Bills job is available?
It's almost a coin toss, isn't it? I'm going to say yes, just because I think that roster is slightly... It's less pieces away from being a proper contender, I think.
Is that the Bills or the
Ravens? The Ravens. Roster? The Ravens, sorry, yeah. I think the Ravens is still closer to being a contender. I think it's only one or two bits away from being a decent contender. And I think they were just unlucky with injuries and stuff this year as well. Whereas the Bills, I feel like it needs more pieces, and I feel like the defense needs not a complete overhaul, but it needs a lot of work.
Yes, I agree. And the aforementioned Brandon Bean of it all would... You'd have to deal with that in Baltimore. They've got a good...
Yeah, they tend to draft good well. Front office. Yeah, they draft everything, well. They do everything well there.
They run their organization very well.
Yeah.
Cool. Right. Let's talk about a wonderful weekend of NFL football. And once again, we will go through the games chronologically. And so that begins with those Buffalo Bills who traveled to Denver to take on the Broncos in a highly entertaining game.
Yes.
The first of two overtime games. Potentially the best game that Bo Nix has ever played as a Denver Bronco. And so it's useful that he will be available conference championship weekend. Wait a minute.
Oh, no. Broke his ankle on the last play.
Oh, my God. That's so annoying.
Just annoying, insanely bad luck. Just the worst kind of luck. You could possibly, because he's literally just played a really, really solid, like, and in touch. The thing, the Bo Nix normally does is he only turns up for like one or two quarters, you know, usually the fourth quarter, which is kind of important. That's good. That's a good thing he turns up for that one, but usually only tends to be one or two. But he was consistent the whole way through the game. The fact that he is now out I feel for Broncos fans. That's heartbreaking. Because they're a good team, but without him, I don't think they have enough to get past the next bit.
We will preview.
Yes, we will preview that Thursday. But it was a really good game. The fact that the Bills held on and kept it so close, despite all the turnovers, despite the holes they kind of kept digging for themselves, kind of does show you how good they could be with a little bit more talent in the receiving room and a little bit and just a better defense. If that Bills team had a better defense, they come out of the winners there.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, they get a couple of stops on Denver and turn them over. maybe get some decent field position so that there's less work for Josh Allen to do. Because the issue was that even if they did turn, or you know, even when they did get the ball back or stop Denver, they would because of how well the Broncos defense plays, every go up the field is hard. There's no sort of easy button. There's no easy option for Josh Allen. And you saw it. He just goes hero ball and then, what was it, like three fumbles?
And then two fumbles and three interceptions for
there
Mr.
you go.
Allen.
Yes. Yeah. Just the worst game for the hero ball to just completely crap out. And it's because of it's how good Denver are defensively that they force those turnovers. And also just shows you how desperate I feel like the Bills were sort of very desperate to win that, and they, I don't want to say tried too hard, but you can almost feel like that, you know, because the Chiefs aren't in here. The Ravens aren't in it. This is our year to try and finally break the duck, you know. We don't have to get past Mahomes and the Chiefs. That monkey is gone. You know, we don't have to worry about the Ravens. They haven't made it. The normal superpowers aren't here. This is our chance. And it just, every time it looked like they might turn, it just, there was a turnover or the Denver defense would make a play. And it just, broke Buffalo hearts. You could see how much the players wanted it, and it just couldn't make it work.
Yeah. So I think that, Nick said he had a very solid game. He was careful with the football. Mostly he did have one interception, but we'll let him off.
Yeah.
And they did a decent job of pushing the ball down the field for Bo Nix. Mm-hmm. He's normally Mr. Dinky Dunky, but he was decent at pushing the ball, and good at scrambling when he needed to.
Yep. He had a really, really good game.
And he wasn't really helped. Usually Denver has like a decent run game to go with it and help. And he had none of that. Denver only rushed for 70 yards, and like 30 of that was Bo Nix himself. So the Bills did a good job of keeping the Denver rushing attack in check. Mm. So it was all down to Bo Nix. So, and he did a good job for the most part.
The Buffalo secondary is not great. So it does encourage the passing on them.
But in the past, if you'd have limited the Denver's rushing attack, you probably have rattled Nix.
Yeah.
So you've got to give
Because they use the run to set up the passing game. That's how they would normally do it, but it just couldn't do that. So as you say, they had to fully rely on him, and he did a great job. And then his ankle gave out.
Yeah.
I'm assuming from all the weight of having to carry the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's too much for his ankles.
Oh no.
Yeah, and Josh Allen had a stinker, especially
he
for
did.
Josh Allen's lofty standard. That final interception in overtime is an absolute backbreaker. There's nothing no other way to put it.
Yes,
really, is there?
It just is. Yeah, yeah, broke the back, broke the heart.
Because they've done such a good job on Denver's opening drive of overtime, forcing a three and out. Brilliant. All we've got to do is get ourselves into position for a field goal and we can win this game. And then, he just throws the awful interception.
It's just awful, yeah.
And then that's that. However, the Bills are really good at running the ball in this game. How many fumbles did James Cook have? Did have the one fumble.
One. Yeah, they did something similar to what they did last year when they were playing the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Which was like, hey, we're going to run the ball for the first like three quarters because that's working really well. And then like outthought themselves.
Yeah.
And we're like, now we're going to start passing. But you were getting like 7 yards a carry. Keep running the ball.
Exactly.
Especially if, you know, Josh Allen is having a bad game. Run the damn ball.
Yes. I was about to just say, I mean, it's all it's not all on Allen, or it's not all Allen's fault that they lost this game. He did have a stinker, but equally, without Josh Allen, the Jags would have beaten you last week because he was absolutely electric last week and was the only reason they beat the Jags.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is one of the reasons that McDermott has been fired is because I don't think they coached a particularly good game either.
No.
They got away from the run too much.
Yeah.
They didn't use the weapons they did have. They didn't have any receivers coming into the game, but they still had their tight ends, and they were not featured heavily enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's back. It's heartbreaking for Bills fans who've got to spend the rest of the off season diving through tables. But I don't think anyone could be happy coming out of this game because. Yeah. The Broncos have lost their starting quarterback. And
yeah, the Broncos would have been really happy until they had the injury news. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it was in a row. Injury report. What?
The Bills still have the monkey on their back, so I don't think anybody wins out of this.
Nope. It's a brilliant game that ends in heartbreak for both teams. Amazing.
So then the next game on Saturday, which ended in heartbreak for one team.
It was beautiful.
The San Francisco 49ers managed to double their offensive output from the previous time they played the Seattle Seahawks a mere 2 weeks ago, because in that game they scored 3 points and in this game they scored six. So if you give them, let's work this out, another 12 games, they will finally be able to match the output of Seattle. This was a beatdown.
Glorious. It was wonderful. From the literal first touch of the game, Rashid Shaheed blowing by everybody down the field and getting the touchdown off the just bang like that immediately. It was like, oh, okay, cool. This is good. Yeah. Yeah. I'm feeling good. It got better. It just got better.
Yeah.
From there. It was just like, yeah, we stopped him again. And we stopped him again. And here's the rushing touchdown. You know, Kenneth Walker has the game of his life.
Mm.
Getting the three touchdowns. And just, oh. Sam Darnold didn't have to do much. He threw the one pass, one touchdown to JSN, because that's just traditional now. That's what we do. We throw a touchdown to JSN. That's just, we have to have one of those every week. Just got to do that. But yeah, the Niners defense is beaten up, battered, and I think at this point it was a step too far. You know,
definitely.
Yeah, they got past the Eagles, who were a dysfunctional offense. And through most of the season they've been, you know, getting by on, I mean, one or two guys be hurt. But it was just, I think, yeah, a step too far for the Niners with all the injuries and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Seahawks just were ruthless.
They were
cold-blooded, just had no concern for anybody's feelings at all. Just absolutely dismantled them. Kept stopping them. Nice, Brock Purdy looked like he wanted to cry. Very sad. I had so much fun. I was standing in my living room, just dancing around. Because I love it when we dismantle people, because it's fun. You know, people complain that the Super Bowl that we won against the Broncos was boring. I maintain it was not. I maintain it was glorious. Absolutely. they're the best offense football's ever seen. Doesn't matter. You know, Christian McCaffrey's like the best offensive weapon in the league. No, he ain't. Not today. That defense is special. It's nice to watch. It's a lot of fun to watch, because every time it's a different guy making a big play, almost every snap. You know,
yeah. It's in contrast to the like Texans defense, where the Texans defense is insanely violent. The Seahawks, I'm not saying it's not violent, but it's just much more suffocating. It's just
You're getting one or 2 yards.
You turn around and there's another Seahawk.
They've just thing. Yeah, it's like they've multiplied.
It's if like, you've managed to get past that Seahawk, then there's three more after taking one step.
It's like when you have it in those games where you've got the ball and it sort of hits another ball and then it multiplies into more balls and then more and then more. That's basically what the Seahawks defense is. It's just you don't notice and then all of a sudden there's like 12 of them.
Yeah.
And it's a gang mentality. Just any time, like who's got the ball, four of them go at him.
It's a product of just being insanely well coached on that side of the ball.
Yes, 100%.
Because there are no proper stars. There's no elite pass rusher. There's no superstar corner.
Like Weatherspoon is a very good corner, but I wouldn't say he's a superstar corner. Like Leonard Williams and DeMarcus Lawrence are both very good up front. But again, they're not, I wouldn't class them as superstar guys.
No. So there's no big name on the defense. They're just all incredibly well coached. Know exactly what they're doing all the time. It's really, really excellent. And well, like you said, the offense didn't really have to do a right lot. All they had to do was hand the ball off and make the odd
Kenneth Walker just run down. Yeah,
it was grand. So on the 49ers though, this was kind of a natural ending point of their season. They've done incredibly well.
To every injury and everything else they've had this year, the fact that they had such a good record, you know, 12-5.
Yes, that's
right. Yes, they were 12-5. Ran for 11-6. Yes, right. 12-5. If you had told the Niners that you're going to miss, like, pretty much everybody's going to be injured for a significant amount of time, apart from McCaffrey, and you're still going to be 12-5. That's incredibly impressive. And that is, it shows how good a coach Shanahan is. It showed, especially with all the defensive injuries, you know, when you know Fred Warner, no Nick Bosa, no secondary at all, really. The fact that they've managed to get such a good performance out of the limited talent they've had defensively and on offense where people have been out. It's incredible. It's a great coaching job. It's just eventually you're going to come unstuck. That there's only so far that just coaching the living daylights out of it will get you. You know, eventually you just come up against a team that's like well coached but is healthy.
Yeah.
You know.
Especially when you lose your two best offensive players in consecutive playoff games.
Yeah. Oh, no, Don't Drew Kittle. That could be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then McCaffrey went down in this game as well.
No easy quick pass option there, is there? If you haven't got George Kittle and you're Brock Purdy and you see three Seahawks guys running towards you, it's like, crap. there's no short pass to just think it out now.
Yeah.
You know, to a Kittle that you would normally have there. The easy button's gone. And McCaffrey goes down partway through the game because he's getting the living crap beaten out of him. And it's just like, yeah. You got the Seahawks just like, yes, die. Just stepping on the neck, just like, yep, we've had enough. Die now. This is your last breath. Just, that's it. Your season's over. Shh, go to sleep. Okay, go back home. Just pulling the plug on the old person. It's time to go now. It's time to go now. Shh, quiet.
Okay.
Not that I was happy.
So moving on to the second overtime game of the weekend, the Los Angeles Rams managed to outlast the Bears at Soldier Field. It wasn't as high scoring as the Buffalo-Denver game, but it was equally as entertaining, I would have said.
Mm-hmm.
The Chicago Bears defense, much maligned Chicago Bears defense, did a fantastic job of kettling the Los Angeles Rams. They did not look particularly good throughout the game. They didn't run the ball particularly well. But I think the problem with the Rams is they are just so talented, and it kind of like you kind of saw that in the overtime drive after another back-breaking interception. They just can just switch it on, and they just drove down the field,
yep.
did what they needed to.
Stafford to Puka, Stafford to Adams.
I think it kind of showed the difference in experience of the two sides.
I think that's a big part of it, yeah.
In that one is young, most of their star players are young, whereas this one is...
The star players are...
Old. Well, they're old and Nakua.
They're older than their Puka Nakua. Yeah, that's yeah. Matt Stafford, old. Devontae Adams, old for a receiver. Old. Yeah, you know. But and then there's Puka, who is just
a dickhead.
a less likable moron. I like the way you play. I don't like the way you talk. Don't do the talking anymore. No more talking for you. I just liked it when you were just sort of a happy, smiley guy that, you know, ran people over. Then you started talking, and I don't want that. None of that, please. Thank you.
Yeah, so, and I think you got everything of the Caleb Williams experience for the Bears. You know, the moments of absolute unbridled footballing genius.
Yeah, that touchdown pass as he's sprinting backwards towards his own end zone. Yeah,
that is mental.
fantastic.
Alongside head in hand moments, as well as like, there's a lot of moments that will be lost in the grand picture of Caleb will have had a man come open, and then he just put a little too much on the ball, and it sailed over his hands. And that's the kind of the kind of Caleb Williams experience where he isn't quite the finished article yet.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of talent, but yeah, cannot rein all that talent in quite yet.
Not yet, no. But I think it's coming. You can see the talents there. I mean, like I said, on that touchdown pass to tie the game up. Insane. The talent is so clearly there. Bears fans should be very pleased with how it is coming along, because you've got young talent in key skill positions. For example, Caleb Williams, you've got Roma Dunze, you've got Colson Loveland. You know, the defense needs work, but it played really well in this game. And that can be built on, because you see what it is with the Seahawks. You don't have to have big names. You just have to be well coached, you know? And I think if they can, the markers of improvement are definitely there. You've got Manunga in the running game. A, fun to say. B, fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, there are great building blocks there for them. You've got Luther Burden as well. Great. Great rookie receiver. Brilliant. Your building blocks are there. It is coming. You know, the only issue you've got really is the fact that your division is so tough that you're going to have to come up against the Lions and the Packers next year again. But they've proved this year they can do it. And if they get better, then I think they can keep doing it.
Agreed. I think the general arrow is pointing up for the Chicago Bears. Another thing to point out with Chicago is their receivers had generally all pass catchers had poor games. A number of passes should have been caught, which were not.
Yeah.
Didn't help.
No.
And there is a tough defense to play. They've got a phenomenal defensive line. The pass rush is dangerous, but the secondary is not.
No.
So if they'd just taken a few more of the opportunities, maybe we're talking about...
Yeah, we're talking a different game here.
Chicago Bears traveling to Seattle instead of the Rams.
Yeah. Which I think would make for a better game, personally. I think the Bears versus the Seahawks would be more fun to watch.
I mean, we'll talk about this in a couple of days.
I'm looking forward to us dismantling the Rams as well. That'll be fun, but
it would be
fun to watch the Bears instead.
I'm concerned about the Rams. Not playing your best against a team without a winning record, and then not playing your best against a young team with not particularly good defense.
Yeah,
has me concerned, because now you're up against potentially definitely the best defense left in the playoffs, as it was between them and Houston, in my opinion. So I'm concerned for the Rams' future.
Yeah.
And I also really, 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 really don't want a Rams versus Patriots Super Bowl.
Nobody wants that.
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
No, no, thank you. They're the thing is, you've got an aging quarterback and stuff. I think they're coming to the end of this sort of. So it looks, it feels like they're coming to the end of a sort of cycle, and then they're going to need to start retooling that offense.
I think that, yeah, but I trust in.
I mean, I trust. Yeah,
McVay, we trust. I think.
It'll be yeah, that part. Yeah, it's just I think they just need to add some more, maybe a new running back. Just I don't know. And secondary talent, they need a better secondary. Because that's it's much too easy to just dink it over the top. Oh no, Jared Verse is running at me. Is there anybody behind him? Not really. No. Okay. Boop over the top. I make that sound much easier than it actually is.
I was going to say that sounds so easy.
It's so easy. Yeah, you just dink it over the top of his head. One of your guys will be there. It'll be fine.
6'6", 290-pound man who can run a 4.4
and probably jump pretty fucking high as well. Let's be honest. Yeah, just dink it over.
Just
the top
it over
of
him, mate.
Yeah,
piece of piss.
Great. Yeah. Absolutely all right. Not.
Let's move on to the final game. A game. There's only one way to talk about this game, and that is the completely and utterly shit-filled bed that is the Houston Texans offense.
Yes. Yes. Because every single one of their woes from earlier this season came back to bite them.
Yeah. CJ Stroud was, I don't know.
He did not have a good game.
It was Nathan Peterman levels of quarterbacking performance.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah. He was atrocious, which is a shame because the Houston defense, they were excellent for the most part.
They did a great job. It's just that I think more than anything, they were probably just gassed come the end of the game because just like, we have been out here for 50 minutes. Please just have a long offensive drive.
Yeah.
Just one. Let us breathe. No. No, because our offensive line is awful and CJ Stroud is having the worst game of his life. So no.
Yes. Yeah, so
yeah, it's a bad combination. Because don't be wrong, I think CJ Stroud is their quarterback. I don't question that. I think he just had a really bad game. But it is magnified by just how bad that offensive line performs.
Yes.
Because he's just like, I'm going to have to make a pass. Why is there none of my players in front of me? Why can I only see Patriots guys? Throw it. Interception. You know, you watch some of those passes. Somebody put some clips together of just some of them, just the bad passes coming out. And it's just like, that is a combination of him. Yeah, he's having a bad game, but also because he's throwing under pressure, which is not fun. Oh no, I'm about to get clobbered by a 300-pound man. It might distract you somewhat when you're trying to throw the ball.
Potentially.
Potentially, yeah, possibly.
I do worry that that these scars are now quite deep on Mr. Stroud after two seasons of woeful offensive line play.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if the Houston Texans have ruined their second quarterback in team history. As David Carr was a promising quarterback who was sacked. Like I think he still holds the record for the most sacked quarterback in a season. You can't write Stroud off yet.
No. No,
you've got to hope that if you build up the offensive line, he will recapture some of his form.
Yeah, you have got to spend this offseason
fixing that
offensive line desperately. The wide receivers, actually, you know, especially if they get Tank Dell healthy, that'd be lovely. I have no real issue with. The running game could use a little bit of an improvement, but I think that's also to do with the offensive line performance being poor, because Woods wasn't bad, and Nick Chubb is, I think, a decent option as a second choice running back now, with as he comes to this part of his career. But if your line isn't blocking or creating gaps, it's very hard for that to be effective.
Definitely.
And I think that's, yeah, it comes down to the trenches, but specifically their offense. Their defense is fine. Their defense is elite. Yeah. And violent and mean and angry, and it wants to take your head off.
Yeah. The problem with the defense is going to be keeping it together, not improving it.
Yes, that is going to be much more the issue, is keeping it as a single unit going forward. On a happier note, I guess, I don't know how happy I am about the Patriots being good again. I thought we were done with this.
I've got a narrative to spin on that.
I thought it was over. I mean, basically all they had to do, their defense hasn't been phenomenal, but all it had to be was competent. And that's basically what it did. And then Drake May dealt well with the pressure that was put on him.
He did what he needed to do, and that was have three or four actual magical throws.
Yeah.
That first touchdown he threw, that was like elite quarterback play. That was really, 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 really special.
Yeah.
And that's all he needed to be, because Stroud was there just absolutely shitting the bed on the other side.
Yeah. It takes a lot of the pressure off of Drake May. Especially, I mean, that's perfect if you're having to play that defense. If you just that little bit of the pressure's off, just like, yes, the actual physical pressure of them running at you is still going to be there. But when you look at the scoreboard, it's okay, because Texans can't do anything offensively. So all you've got to do is...
Not turn it over,
really. So it's just like, oh, crap, they're running at me. Dirt it. Dirt the ball. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, we'll focus more on running the ball. We'll focus on just not... like easy little passes. I don't have to go deep. I don't have to make, you know, hang in the pocket for too long and stay in there and then wait for the deep ball. I can just short pass, running game, short pass, running game. And we don't have to worry about racking up lots of quick scores or anything like that to try and catch up, because they can't, you know, the Texans couldn't score. So,
yeah, he did exactly what he needed to do. It was, and he looked pretty good doing it. He played very well. And he was under siege a fair amount in the game. He had quite a lot of fumbles. I'd say at least half of them aren't his fault, in that he was trying to pass the ball and he got knocked out the back of his hand by a pass rusher. So I think he played a fine game. Not the best game.
No.
But
it's hard to have your best game against that Texans D, let's be honest.
quite indeed. Yeah, so I feel really sorry for the Texans defense, because they were excellent, absolutely excellent all year. And then, I do worry that Stroud is already broken and he can't be fixed. But
maybe he just needs to change the scenery. Look at Darnold.
look at all sorts of folk.
Yeah, look at Geno Smith before he went to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Don't look at him and the Raiders. Don't look at that. That won't help you.
That doesn't fit.
No, Seahawks Geno Smith. Yes, absolutely. Anything before and anything after? No.
No. Yeah. So the New England Patriots are rewarded with a number one seed that doesn't have a starting quarterback, as they have the easiest route to the Super Bowl.
Oh, it's been so long since we've had this kind of like success. Complete fuck off. Oh, unbearable.
Served up to you on a plate.
Titled
Patriots fans.
Bastards. Bass, Alan, hey. I do love you. You are wonderful human beings. However, I hate your football team, okay? And I hate other Patriots fans that aren't you too.
So, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend of playoff football. The only sad thing about it is it does kind of signal the end of the season is nigh. We have one more week and then it's the Super Bowl. I'm sure that there's like a Pro Bowl thing that no one cares about in the middle of that.
The flag football game, yeah. and all the skills games, yeah.
Which, no one cares.
No, we're not here for that. I'm sure someone will watch it, but it won't be me.
Or I. Nor no. I. All right. So we will be back later in the week to preview the championship round of the NFL playoffs. If you want to get in touch with us with and tell us our opinions are wrong, there are a number of ways you can do that. You can go to Blue Sky, where we are, gridirongents.bsky.social, or you can join us on Instagram. If you search for Gridiron Gents, I'm sure you'll find us. But the best thing to do is come and join our Discord channel, where we are having daily NFL football chats. And sometimes we talk about Metallica for some reason.
People overhate on Metallica, man.
They had three fantastic albums.
I was raised, but I mean, I'm biased because I was basically raised by Metallica. That's just, I didn't get Nursery Rhymes, so I got the Black Album.
Nice.
You know, I'm biased, but saying that Metallica suck makes me want to hit people.
So he likes some terrible, terrible punk bands, does Ardan, so we'll just have to pick him up on that. Anyway, come and join our Discord server. You'll find a permanent link in bio on either Blue Sky or Instagram. Thanks very much for joining me, Phil.
Thank you.
We will, like I said, catch you later in the week. Tatty bye.
Bye.